and the sky looks like rain. Looks like I'm in for a long wait, for an easy breath on a long day. I'm starting over again. Familiar clock and a roadside truck stop, an artifact on the wall reminds me of days gone by. Things will never be undone as I look upon that face I see. Distant memories that come to take their place, and the running through the weeks. And the sky looks like rain. Looks like I'm in for long. For an easy breath on a long day, starting over again. There is a freedom in the night. They can't be trapped or caught. A dark escape from the hard daylight. Impossible things can be done. There is a growing suspicion that there are no rules. Your mind keeps slipping and drifting and twisting in and out of what's true. Like rain, looks like I'm in for a long wait, for an easy breath on a long day, starting over again. Driving into the sun, the promise of a
Kitchener-based singer-songwriter Lynn Jackson with The Sky Looks Like Rain from her 8th album. It's entitled Songs of Rain, Snow and Remembering, and it's out now on Busted Flat Records. And as with her last record, The Acoustic Sessions, the new album is co-produced with Teenage Fan Club's Norman Blake. Songs of Rain, Snow and Remembering is an album that shows the depth of Lynn's songwriting and sees Lynn exploring new sounds in her music with the addition of piano and cello. We caught up with Lynn at home in Kitchener to chat about the new album. How are you doing today, Lynn?
I'm doing great. How are you, Dan?
Great to talk to you today. You must be pretty excited with the reception you've received for the new album.
It does seem to be doing pretty well across Canada and in Europe especially.
Well, I was excited when I found out the seventh album was going to be co-produced with Norman Blake. He's back in the chair again, helping you out with this album. Listening to it, though, I sense that this album does show a little bit of progression from the acoustic sessions, which was more of a review of your catalogue compared to some of the other albums you put out.
That's right. It was kind of, I guess, a stripped-down best of, if you will. I really wanted something that I could take it on the road that was very representative of what I sound like when I'm touring solo, which I did that last year. I toured from Kitchener all the way out to Vancouver Island and back for 5 weeks last October and November. And usually when you're on the road, you try to put together your best songs, your best playlist. So that's what the acoustic sessions is all about. And this new record was a whole different animal.
So tell us a little bit about this album. I'm interested in the title because Songs of Rain, Snow, and Remembering gives me the impression that there have songs with different themes that have come together, and I'm just curious as to whether these were all songs that have been written within the last year, or maybe these are songs that you've been holding on to for the right time to bring them out.
That's exactly right. Actually, the oldest song on this record goes back to about 2009 or 2010. It just didn't fit on the more rootsy Americana albums that I was putting out. I guess I didn't really notice a theme until I had finished writing a bunch of songs, and I kind of looked back and reflected on the topics and what I had written about, and even a couple of the songs have winter in the title, so I started to see them in a certain light as a collection. It's also what I would kind of call an acoustic album, although there is a lot of piano and cello on it. I guess those are acoustic instruments technically, but I just wanted to push myself, and I wanted to try a quieter album that used less of the more rootsy, typical rootsy instruments like dobro and pedal steel, and kind of went in a different direction with the piano and cello and harmonium and that kind of thing, just to try on a different flavor, I guess.
It's interesting you should say that, because obviously you're releasing this album in the fall. It has quite that wintry feel to it. I'm thinking like snuggling up at home, putting the album on, perhaps grabbing a glass of wine to drink while you listen to it, with songs that have lots of depth. I mentioned at the start of the interview that I sense that there is some progression in your songwriting. Is this something you feel yourself, that you're growing into it more as you move through your catalog with age?
I don't know if I see it as much of a progression as that I'm more willing to experiment with different sounds and different instruments and different ideas for arrangements. So I'm moving into territory that is a bit more unfamiliar for me, although the piano player on the album is a longtime friend of mine, Aaron Powell. He used to be from Kitchener, and he's since relocated to Toronto, but he's a brilliant player and a really good friend of mine. And so if you look through the songs, he plays on every song except for one. So it was a real collaborative effort between the two of us. And he's such a great player that I can throw anything at him and he'll come up with something just magnificent. And just the comfort of knowing that I could throw something out there that's completely left field and could be kind of strange to some other player, that he would just run with it and do a great job.
It's interesting you should single out Aaron for his contribution to this album, because one of the things I love about the piano is the way that it's used. And it's really used to try and bring out some of the textures in the song. I think it works very, very effectively that way. Was it a challenge to bring something like bring a piano into your music? Have you used a piano much before and on your previous albums?
I have used a piano a few times before, and Actually, it's always been Aaron. It's pretty much always been Aaron. But it took more of a background role. It was more of an accent than, say, a more main vocal piece for the song. So I guess that's how this album is slightly different.
And what about the use of cello? I think you had Nick Storing playing cello on this album.
I did have Nick Storing. I thought about where I was going to get the kind of the lower end sound from, the area that a typical bass would normally take. And I didn't want anything about this album to be typical. So I thought, you know, a lot of these piano songs, they lend themselves very well to having really long, smooth cello lines. And I gave the songs to Nick to work on, and he came back to me and he said, you know, some of these I hear single cello lines, but others I hear complete arrangements. And so I let him do exactly what he wanted to do, because he's a brilliant cello player.
Tell us about that first track we played, The Sky Looks Like Rain. It's the first track on the album. It's an interesting song to start with, because it actually, the first words out of your mouth is "the sky looks like rain." And I always wonder, is that sort of like setting the scene for where this album may go?
I guess lyrically, it does. It covers a lot of ground. But it's also, I was very cognizant that a lot of the songs on this album are pretty mellow and laid back. And this one, I mean, even despite the more reflective theme of the song, the tempo was a little more upbeat, and I thought it would be a great way to open the album. So there's that. And a lot of these songs are just, they're kind of a bird's eye view into life, whether it's my life or whether I'm taking on a vision of somebody else's life. Just a more personal look at the stuff that we all go through.
And what do you hope that the listener gets out of, you know, enjoying this album?
I've already had some good response from friends of mine. Just that they've been listening along, and like a few songs like Ribbons. Ribbons is kind of about a long lost friend from public school. I mean, without trying to give too much away, it's just about different phases in your life and different things that you're thinking about and reflecting on. And a lot of people responded that there must be a really common theme. You know, different times in your life, you're really close with someone and then you lose touch and life happens and you drift apart and you don't hear from them for years and you always wonder, you know, what happened to them and where they ended up. And so what I want the readers to take, or the listeners to take away from this album, is maybe just a sense of familiarity, that people are kind of getting where I'm coming from with some of these songs. Of course, not all of them, but, you know, just an overlap with other people, that they kind of understand where I'm coming from.
We're going to take a break in a few moments with another track from the album, but I did want to talk about Norman Blake's contribution to this album. Mainstay in Teenage Fan Club, I gotta be honest, for people listening at home, one of my favorite bands of all time. He's co-producing with you. Can you talk a little bit about his contribution to the project?
Norman and I have a very similar philosophy to recording, and he literally lives around the corner from me, so it makes recording together very, very easy. Really, what happened is he brought his portable studio over to my living room, and we recorded this album in my living room. The acoustic sessions we recorded at his place in his living room. So I mean, it's almost like a low-key casual affair. But when it comes to, like, some studios, you go in and the engineer demands perfection. You got to do take after take until you get it just right. And Norman and I have a little more of a relaxed philosophy about that. Just, you know, do a handful of takes, do maybe four takes, and then you take the best take. And that way you're still breathing some authenticity and some life into the song. So In terms of the musicians that came in to play on the album, they're mostly friends of mine that are local. So Norman was meeting some of them for the first time. But he did have suggestions here and there for, you know, different moods and different kind of notes. But generally, I'd say the people would just come in, they would be well prepared, they would play something brilliant, and it really came together like a piece of cake.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because we live in a time where a lot of the music that's being produced is very manufactured, you know, and because everything is now headed down that digital road where you can do so many different things after you've recorded to, you know, beef up the sound, change the sound in a whole bunch of different ways, you do tend to lose a lot of the actual feeling that goes into making a record. And you know, I'm listening to this on a CD today. But when you go to CD from vinyl, you lose quite a bit of the sound. And I'm interesting that, you know, basically what I think you're telling me is that you were able to hold a lot more of that real sound that you recorded by the way that you actually approach the recording of the album itself.
Absolutely. Yep. Less can be more. When you don't flog a horse. I mean, you can get beautiful passages. If people are into it and they're playing well, as everybody on this album did, you can create a little bit of magic in the moment.
No, that's wonderful. Let's play another track from the album. I'd like to play Water and Glass, which interestingly is actually the final track on the album. It is a beautiful song, and I just love it. If you could just tell us a little bit about that song.
Well, it's a lengthy one. I think that's kind of why it ended up slated last on the record. It is Mark Logan's personal favorite from Busted Flat Records as well. I got an old battered copy of Beautiful Losers by Leonard Cohen, and I went to bed one night and I thought, okay, I've always been meaning to read this book and I've never gotten around to it, and so I took a glass of wine with me and I was in bed reading this book, and I got to about page 10 and I just had this idea, because all these lyrics just came streaming through my head. So I thought, okay, I got to get up. I got to write this down before I forget it. And so the lyrics pretty much came out in about 20 minutes to half an hour. It was just a kind of a weird stream of consciousness thing. And that's why the very first line of the song is a dim glowing light trying to read a beautiful book about losers in a long forgotten time, because I think that book came out in, what, the 60s? But other than that, I can't tell you any more about how that came together. That's just how it worked. It all just came into my head flowing, and I had to write it down.
Let's listen to that song now. This is Lynn Jackson with Water and Glass from her new album, Songs of Rain, Snow, and Remembering. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
A dim glowing light, trying to read a beautiful book about losers in a long forgotten time. I've been wondering if I should be sending word about how words. Did you ever feel like you're watching sand slipping through. Water in glass, and if you close your eyes for a minute, everything that's good just blows right past. It blows right past. Well, today is key. Yesterday's a child, and tomorrow is too far to see from these heights. And just in case I miss my ride home, just wanted to say that I loved you all along. Did you ever feel like you're watching sand slipping through water in glass? And if you close your eyes for a minute, everything that's good just blows right past. It blows right past. Try to keep my head straight, but I think I come up all wrong. So I keep burying my head in all of these
That's Lynn Jackson with Water and Glass from her new album, Songs of Rain, Snow and Remembering. She's our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. I wanted to talk to you about moving forward, Lynn. You've already done some release shows. I think you're planning some touring, both going out east and west over the next year. Is that right?
That is right. I'm going to be looking at doing that in the spring, actually. I haven't got any, the end of January, I am going out west for a handful of dates, Calgary, Lethbridge, and Parksville near Nanaimo. But I'd like to do a more lengthy tour, and I'm in the process of booking that.
Tell us a little bit about the live experience, because you mentioned that this is very much a band album. You also mentioned that your last album, The Acoustic Sessions, was an opportunity to strip back some of the songs and present them in the way they would be in a touring situation.
The reality is that touring these days is so I mean, it's expensive to tour Canada. Canada's a huge country, so a lot of the times the reason I don't go on tour with a side person is just pure economic reasons. I'll try to see if I can get side guys, pick them up in different towns, a friend of mine, but generally I have to think about how I'm going to present these songs solo, which is also going to be a bit of a challenge because there's so much piano. However, all of the songs were written by me on acoustic guitar, and they all feature acoustic guitar. Except for Water and Glass. Actually, no, I think that does... Yeah, I think every song on here does have acoustic guitar on it. It's just going to be a matter of me trying to find out a way to arrange it for a live show.
And if people want to learn more about your music and be able to follow you, you know, with the touring that you're doing, how can they do that?
Oh, they can check me out at www.lynnjackson.net. And they can also check me out at www.bustedflatrecords. There are a great deal of artists on the Busted Flat Records roster now. So you go to the site, you check under artists, and you'll see all the great players that are on the label. And everybody has an artist page that has videos, has tour dates, and has a shop, and news and reviews. It's a great one-stop shop.
I've got to say, Busted Flat Records is doing a great job. I've certainly been very appreciative of the way that Busted Flat is releasing music. It's certainly making an effort to make the artist front and center, which is absolutely fabulous in these times when we mentioned before how, you know, the music industry has changed quite so much.
It's a small operation, and Mark Logan really believes in every record that he's releasing. He's got to put the work into it, so he's really got to love the music, and every record means a lot to Mark, so he's willing to get behind it.
I'd like to finish with another track from the album. Now, I thought it might be fun to finish up with Riding Out the Storm. We're getting again back to that weather theme. Do you want to tell us about that song?
Actually, it's probably the most rootsy sounding. It has my good friend Joe Dunn on slide electric guitar, and it's just about it's a relationship song, not necessarily between a man and a woman or a romantic partnership. It's a relationship between two people who are, it's starting to break down, and they're just trying to find some common ground.
This is Lynn Jackson with Riding Out the Storm from her new album, Songs of Rain, Snow, and Remembering. And Lynn, it's been a pleasure talking to you today.
Always a pleasure, Jan. Thanks a lot.
Voices loud to whispering, filling up a room, but nobody's listening. Riding out the storm, trying to avoid the eye, when everything is spinning, I don't recognize your disguise. Of recklessness turn into grief, turn into helplessness. What the hell is happening here? So many pages torn, many sentences scratched out. In the golden book of our time, the story's getting worn out. When the simplest of words turns into your disguise. Moments of recklessness turn into grief, turn into helplessness. What the hell is happening here? Of recklessness turn into grief.